number 10,869, Robert and Barbara Kesmerick, use of Route 1 Coastal Highway, south of Collins Avenue, being lot 13 within Indian Beach Surf Club development. They're appealing the director's decision on the front yard average setback and/or front yard setback requirement.
Mr. Chairman, since this is both an appeal and alternatively a request for a variance, I'm going to ask Mr. Lang to come forward, also be sworn in and present a background, and then we can turn the matter over to counsel for the appellant.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Lang, I think, is here for several cases this evening, so he's just being sworn in for the duration.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Lang, you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
So he's going to give his?
He's going to give us his, the background of this, I think, and his interpretation, and then we'll, Mr. Schreider Fox, follow up with that.
Gentlemen, we had several conversations with the attorney on behalf of the applicant. The ordinance provides specifically in chapter 115, under section 115-182, C, that on a street or road with existing buildings having a front yard setback that is less than that required in the district, any new or relocated building may have a front yard setback that is equal to the average setback of those existing buildings located on the same side of the street or road and being within 300 feet of the new or relocated building, and that any vacant lot shall be calculated as having the required setback for the district. The interpretation has been for years that when you're talking about a new or relocated building, you're dealing with a vacant lot with a new construction. It does not apply or has not applied to additions that take place on the front, within the front yard area after that original construction takes place. And that's the basis of our, the rejection of using that for that addition. So the intent of the applicant is to put an addition up in an area where we can't use the average. As far as through staff, it would require action of the board. That's our interpretation. So over there, I would refer, unless you have questions, to the applicant.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Link. Counsel.
Testifying?
No, not unless there are specific questions for him.
Well, I'll tell you, why don't you have him come be sworn in just in case?
Okay.
That way we won't have to worry about it later. Good evening, sir. Can you give your name and address, please?
Robert Kesmerick, 100 Decker Drive, Newark, Delaware.
And do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
I thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening. Members of the board, staff, counsel, my name is Mary Schreider Fox of Steen, Whaler, and Schreider Fox, here for the applicants tonight, Robert and Barbara Kesmerick. As you're already aware, Mr. Kesmerick is here with me tonight. I will be presenting the application on both of their behalves, but if there are any questions for Mr. Kesmerick, please just let us know.
Okay.
The written application submitted, as you have seen, is fairly detailed. We wanted to really lay out with as much particularity what our position is. The application has two requests within it. There are two prongs. The first is the appeal of the director's decision that the averaged setback allowed by section 115-182C cannot be used for an improvement to the existing structure, like the second-story deck extension that my client wishes to build. Mr. Lank has already described his opinion for you, and as stated in our written application, we think that that is technically incorrect for one main reason, and that is when the new construction occurs, like my clients did back in 1997, they were permitted to take advantage of that averaging formula in 115-182C. And that establishes, for all intents and purposes, the front setback then for that property. You're allowed to build your new home using that average setback because you're located on a street like his where a lot of homes are nonconforming. It's an older community dating back to the 1940s. So you don't have the 30-foot setback for a lot of the properties along there. So back in 1997, my clients constructed their home. At that time, Mr. Betts, the building inspector, and his letter is attached to the application as Exhibit B, determined that the front yard setback, and the term he used was the established setback for the parcel, will be 18.02 feet. My clients proceeded accordingly and built their home actually a little further back at 19.6 feet off of the right-of-way. But at that time, as Mr. Betts stated, the front setback was established. Now, in a normal situation, a person that uses the 30-foot setback that doesn't take advantage of the averaging doesn't need to. If at some point in the future you wanted to build some kind of an improvement or addition to your home, assuming all other zoning and building requirements are met, as far as the location and setback goes, as long as you're within your 30 feet, you're okay for, you know, a new porch on the front or a new room. If you have enough space to do that and still stay within your 30-foot setback. Therefore, our argument here is that in a situation like my client's, where you're permitted to establish a front building line at a certain point in time for your new construction, you should be able to use that building line in the future and moving forward for what are considered to be normal improvements that anybody and everyone makes to their home from time to time. We don't disagree with Mr. Lank that the new construction is what triggers the averaging process. We're not asking to use the averaging process again and anew. We're simply asking to be able to use the front setback that was established back in 1997 as a result of that Section 115-182C process that allowed for a smaller than 30-foot setback. That's the first prong of the application here tonight, is to ask the board's approval of a different outcome, of a different interpretation of Section 115-182C, and to allow my clients to use the 18.02-foot setback for all intents and purposes for their property. As a practical matter, and this is set out in the written application, my clients won't even be fully utilizing what we believe they could, which is to build something right up to 18.02 feet. The second-story deck extension will, in fact, be located 22.7 feet off of the right-of-way. So there's a little bit more grace in there, if you will, a little bit more room. The second prong of the application is, in the event that you disagree with our interpretation of Section 115-182C, then my clients are requesting a variance and to allow for the deck to be constructed as requested at 22.7 feet off of the right-of-way. One of the reasons is for the reasons already stated, which is we have a kind of a unique situation here in that when you are the owner of a property that's permitted to use the averaging process, if in fact later when you make a normal improvement to your home, you must adhere to these more onerous requirements like the 30-foot setback, that creates a special unique burden on that property owner that other owners who don't use that averaging process don't have to deal with. That can make for some architecturally interesting homes, I'm sure. But that is what creates one of the unique situations here, is simply the fact that my client does have a property on a street where the streetscape is varied and this averaging process is used. Another important fact is that the character of the neighborhood will absolutely not be affected. And I think that's shown through the pictures that were submitted with the application. There are lots of homes in that area, both in North Indian Beach, the particular community where my client's home is located, as well as in the other side of Collins Street, which are some other communities. Lots of second-story, third-story decks, some wrap around the house, some are just on one side of the house, but there are a lot of deck structures on the second and third stories of homes, and those pictures show you that.
Hold up just a second. If sure. We don't have any pictures. Do you have any?
Yes, I'm going to pass them down.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that they would be distributed with the application.
I was going to ask you if those were copied for you.
No.
You also mentioned a letter from Mr. Betts, and I don't...
I will pass that down.
I don't have that either.
I apologize. They were the exhibits to the application. And I do have some extra copies if...
It's okay. I have it all.
Okay. Well, and that leads to my next... There's another exhibit, which are consent forms signed by 20 of my client's neighbors, agreeing to the variance request here tonight. And the consent forms also state that each owner believes the deck extension would be within the character of the overall community and that they consent to it. That is Exhibit E of the application. Do you want me to continue while she's doing that? Or
yeah.
Okay, all right. I just didn't want to interrupt the flow.
Okay, ma'am.
In the event that the variance is not permitted, the burden on my client would be that he can't make the normal improvements to his property that other people can make. And in particular, you know, a deck is not an unusual thing, but... it does have an intended purpose. You have to be able to move around on it. You have to be able to be out there and enjoy it. And in this case, if my client has to adhere to the 30-foot setback, really there would be no way to do the deck extension in a meaningful way that would allow for sufficient space to move around. One of the main reasons why my clients want to add the deck extension is to connect two smaller existing decks for safety reasons. That they realized you can't really get off of the one side of the deck or the other except for one point of ingress or egress. So for safety reasons, in case something should happen, they wanted to connect the two to allow for movement. They have some elderly members of the family in a wheelchair, and those types of things were concerns for them and led to this idea in the first place, in addition to the fact that it's nice to have a deck to enjoy the ocean air. So in the event that the variance were not to be permitted, my clients really wouldn't be able to have a good space to be used as a deck the way a deck is intended to be used. And that's really it. The rest is stated with more particularity in the written application. Are there any questions for me or for my client?
Ma'am? Exhibit C. What's this? What are these?
Oh, those are pictures of my client's home. So you can see where the deck extension is going to go. That's the side of the home to connect.
Okay. And D is the one in the neighborhood?
Yes, Exhibit D, those are the neighborhood pictures of the different decks and other structures. You can just see what they look like, that a second story deck extension would not be unusual. And then Exhibit E, those are the consent forms from the 20 neighbors. And then submitted with the application was a copy of a survey prepared by Coast Survey, showing the proposed deck and the various setbacks in the location of the proposed structure.
Okay.
Could you summarize for the record the standards and how you think they meet this variance?
Well, the standard of exceptional practical difficulty, I think, is met by combining all of these things that we've talked about. The exceptional practical difficulty is created because of the allowance of a lesser than a 30-foot setback in 1997 when my client builds his house. And it's not unreasonable to believe that 15 years later or so, that an improvement or an extension or addition to the house might be made, and my client is willing to make that addition and extension within the building envelope that he was originally permitted to have using an 18.02-foot setback, but now is not allowed to do that and needs to have any additional improvement to his home located further back. That creates the exceptional practical difficulty, together with the fact that if the variance is not permitted, then a deck extension, really one that's useful and can be utilized the way that a deck is supposed to be used, really isn't possible. It would be a narrow strip of decking that you can't use for its intended purpose. So that is what creates the exceptional practical difficulty. In addition, as stated in the written application, that my client, you know, parking in the Dewey Beach area, as we all know, is very valuable, and parking spaces for his property will be lost if the variance isn't granted, because structurally the deck would have to be constructed differently, and thus a pillar or, you know, pole would have to be placed where cars normally are parked in order to hold up a smaller, narrower deck in that location. So all of those things combined, as well as the fact that the spirit of the zoning ordinance would still be upheld. After all, the zoning ordinance says when you first build your home, you're allowed to build it closer to the street. We're okay with that. So to now say that we're not okay with that and you have to build it further away doesn't really seem to be in keeping with the spirit of 115-182C that allows you to build closer in these special circumstances. I guess that's really all, unless you have other questions.
I didn't hear you say anything that addressed that cannot be otherwise developed or wasn't created by the applicant.
Well, my client hasn't actually made the improvement yet. As far as the way that the original house was constructed without this deck extension, I don't think that we can view that as being a self-created problem. After all, any average person builds a home and then you later go, I'd like to have another room on there, or I'd like to have another porch. So making that type of improvement is very normal and standard. So in that way, I don't think you can say that it's self-created. But as far as it not being possible to develop the property at all without the variance, it would be inaccurate for us to state that it's impossible to build anything within the 30 feet. However, that circles back around to the argument that if the 30 feet is required, then the end result really would be a structure that doesn't have much utility.
Thank you.
Okay. Just to go back, and I just want to make sure everybody understands, the two-story house on pilings was built in, you said, 97?
That's correct.
And at that time, the front yard setback was averaged, and the result was 19.6 feet?
No, the average was 18.02 feet, according to Robert Betts.
Okay.
So however, my clients voluntarily pulled it back a little bit more at 19.6 feet.
And at this point now, in 2011, the proposed deck would be 22.7, which would be more than the average, but less than the 30-foot front setback.
That's correct.
But that's the issue that's there in terms of the appeal.
Okay. Are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. McCabe? Mr. Bartman? Mr. Hudson?
No.
Mr. Mills?
No.
No further questions? Okay, hearing no further questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application?
Two.
Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we take case number 10,869 under advisement.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Workman that we take case number 10,869 under advisement. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Case will be taken under advisement. What that means, ma'am, there may be a decision made here later on this evening. You could stay if you would like, or you may call the office in the morning after 9.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed.